Hey, welcome to the Mostly Skateboarding Podcast. I'm your host, Templeton Elliott, and I'm joined this week by Mike Munzenreiter and Patrick Higongo to investigate a recent video the Portland Trailblazers made using a VX1000 and death lens. We tracked down the Trailblazers' senior videographer, the Emmy Award-winning Tristan Brianso-Lewis. Not only is Tristan on the court, he's also out in the streets filming with Portland's best skaters. So Tristan, for the listeners who missed the video, can you tell us about it and how you ended up filming with skateboarding's most iconic video camera?
Yeah, so I'll just start from the very jump. So I was on a Blazers road trip last season, and I was talking with our director of broadcast at that time, and I mentioned in passing like the VX1000 and, you know, how it's such a good camera for filming skateboarding. And he was like, oh yeah, VX1000, yeah, we have one of those back like the archive somewhere. I was like, yeah, right. And he was like, oh no, yeah, it's gotta be somewhere back there. It's like, we haven't dug it out in years, whatever. And I was like, can I have it if you guys find it? And he was like, oh yeah, yeah, sure. And I was like, I didn't really think much of it. And then about a few weeks later, it wound up on my desk at work, and it was in total disrepair. It just, like, the front, like, element was, like, pretty much broken off, and it didn't fire up. It, like, it was pretty dusty. It had some weird wide angle on it. But it had this really cool, like, OG Blazers broadcasting sticker on the top, on, like, the handle, which you can see in the start of the video. And it's the OG sticker that's on there that was put on there then. It still is on there now. And I held on to it for about 8 months or so and held on to it. And I was kind of starting to get a little sort of like hit like a wall creatively. And I was like, oh, I should probably get this VX repaired so I can kind of like get stoked on filming again. I mean, I'm always stoked to an extent, but I just needed some kind of like kickstart, you know? And so I ended up reaching out to this guy who repairs VX1000s. Shout out Aaron Burgundy for fixing up my VX. Such a great dude. He's fixed up a bunch of VXs. And he fixed up this one. And he sent it back to me. They like a laundry list of stuff on it. Like, I started messing around with it, filmed some skating. And then eventually I was like, you know, I kind of want to, like, I want to film a game with this VX. And because it just makes sense, you know, because we actually use this very camera to film like some behind the scenes stuff, like back in its day. And it only felt right to like film game recap, like a home video style recap with that camera, just to hit us in the nostalgic feels in a way. And I picked a game that I wasn't working my normal baseline duties. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to float around with this thing. And if we win, great. If we don't, I just will try another opportunity. And I filmed basically, you know, the players walk into the building and do their warmups and pre-game stuff and everything I normally would do on a game day pretty much, and film the whole game, and it ended up being like an OT thriller. And the result is, you know, what you get was kind of made quite the rounds on social, which was kind of surprising. I kind of knew that, you know, it was a good piece, and I was like, oh, it'd be great if, you know, got a little bit of a wave. And then next thing I know, some Toronto Raptors fan like writes a blog posts about it, like hating on it because his Raptors lost, and other people got stoked on it, and that's how I kind of sort of wound up on here. I'm currently, it's important to note, I got the VX repaired so I can film skating with it, and I have been filming some skating with it, but trying to pursue it a bit more as the season winds down. So
sick. And just as a side note, that disgruntled Raptors fan is friend of the pod, Cole Nowicki, so it's kind of full circle there.
That's amazing. I love that. I didn't know that, but shout out to Cole. And it was the first tongue-in-cheek hate mail I've ever received, so I sent it to my dad immediately. He was very proud.
It's fantastic. I was wondering, like, there's that iconic, it's Shaq, and I think it's in PPS 3, you know, the Shaq at the dunk contest in 1990 whatever with the VX. Did any of the players be like, that camera looks familiar, you know, like, were those dudes into it? Because I feel like, you know, NBA players are savvy guys.
Yeah, they, and you know, it's good that you point that out, because I did like kind of preface, like, you know, the VX appearance. I was like, hey, you know, just so you know, this is like the camera that Shaq used, and you know, that iconic kind of video that he had. And they were like, yeah, like, they didn't really say that specifically, but they were like it piqued like the interest of the players for sure. They were like very curious about it. And it's funny too, Jeremy Grant actually has, he bought it, he loves
loved it so much that he bought a VX1000 too, and it's in Miami now. So right. I'm going to help him get familiarized with it. So
Tristan, question for you. So I used to work for NFL Media some years back. And so something I learned from the inside is that professional sports media organizations are run very, very, very tightly. Can you explain for the listeners the big difference between skate media and working for a team like the Portland Trailblazers?
Yeah, for a team like the Portland Trailblazers or like any professional sports team for that matter, it's, you know, you have a certain set of filters and, you know, you have to adhere to those filters and you have to get things kind of vetted by your respective PR staffs. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, you want to, because there's a lot of eyes on this kind of stuff, right? It's not like, you know, skate stuff where it's like pretty fairly low stakes. And the people who are involved in skating are, you know, they're supposed to be there. It's a little bit more condensed. Whereas, you know, professional sports teams, it's so many different people within the organizations and there's so many different politics that you have to kind of navigate through, for lack of a better word, but it's just a bit more sensitive and for good reason too, right? Because, you know, the more eyes that are on something, the more sensitive they are. It's just the way it is. That's pretty much it. But
speaking of like all those eyes on it, like how did you pitch this VX video? Or, you know, it's a vast departure from what's normally put out there by the Blazers.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I brought the VX thing in a few meetings where it was just kind of in passing, and it was kind of more of a pitch to get like a player to kind of like, you know, just mess with it and kind of maybe do a behind the scenes piece with the player. But, you know, we kind of did that idea, like didn't quite come to fruition, and it was just sort of like, if it happens, great, if it doesn't, whatever. But I just was like, hey, I have this night off that I'm not doing my regular baseline duties, and there was a good matchup. I was like, oh, I had a certain feeling about the matchup. I was like, our guys are coming back. The Raptors have a ton of guys hurt. This could be a weird game. And it ended up being a weird game. And so, like, that's what the result was. And so I just kind of, like, went ahead and did it. And I have, like, access to, I mean, I work with those people on a daily basis. We travel with each other. We're all very comfortable with each other. So I can just, I have, thankfully, pretty good range of access. And obviously too, I kind of vet things out a little bit beforehand, and I might have told like a player, one of our guys, like, yeah, I'm bringing the VX on Saturday, because he kind of knew about the VX and kind of knew about like the historical context behind it. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bring it. And I told someone else, and I didn't really tell anyone, because like I feel like the more organic things happen and the more you just kind of do them without really kind of like vetting them out beforehand, the better they kind of turn out.
Yeah.
So I kind of jumped the gun. I didn't really jump the gun, but I was just like, hey, I think I'm going to do this. If it works, I'm going to see if the powers that be like it. And it just kind of did its thing.
So this was kind of like, you just did this on your own. Like you had the night off, you're like off the clock and you made this. And then you just presented them with a finished piece and were like, you want to post it?
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what happened. I was like, hey, I kind of got this. It turned out pretty cool. And what do you guys think? And they were like, oh, this is great. Yeah. And they just ran with it. And they kind of knew. I mean, obviously there's, you know, the folks who decided to post it and the folks who had like eyes on it, they knew what I was doing that night, but I don't really think it quite carried the same sort of weight in the moment. Cause they were like, oh, cool. Like, sure. If it works. And then they saw it, they're like, oh wow, this is really cool. And the sound is interesting. Cause like one of our PR folks, she was like, oh wow, this, it's crazy how good the sound is on this. And I was like, wow, it's funny that you say that, because the VX is actually really well known for its audio. And so it's kind of cool for that to be recognized. And so it was, yeah, it was pretty neat.
Little two-part thing, Tristan. Your normal sideline duties, are you doing broadcast camera work or are you doing in-house camera work? What is that?
It's in-house. Okay. So what I film is like a lot more kind of like branded style content, where it's like sort of more of a cinematic feel and more like targeted on like certain players, and filming more like really kind of like artsy, like, I mean, I don't want to say artsy, but more like cinematic, if you will, like close-up stuff of players and like accent shots, and obviously like the highlights of the game too. And that stuff winds up on social media, winds up on our more branded style videos and like the intro videos that we do, and pretty much kind of across all channels that do eventually wind up on the broadcast. So
yeah,
and I'm trying to get us kind of more worked in with our broadcast too for next season. So
That's rad. Yeah, cause I know those shots from, you know, I'm in Minneapolis. I'm a big I'm a horrendous, tremendous Timberwolves fan, you know, depending on the year, which makes me wonder, like, the spark to kind of try something different on an off night. Like, it's a rebuilding year in Portland, and it's been up and, you know, there's been ups and downs, to say the least. Does, like, you know, trying something different like this kind of keep it fun, so to speak? Because you've been there, what, nine seasons?
Yeah, unofficially 9 seasons. I started as a freelancer, then went to part-time, then went to full-time. So, but officially, I'd say, like, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Officially since, like, 2017, so, like, more like 7 years. But anyway, yeah, I mean, this video was kind of also, like, a product of, like, yeah, this is kind of, like, the, you know, the mid-season. And keep in mind, and, you know, about this, too, as a basketball fan, like, all games are kind of designed the same way. You know, like, you have the same bus times, you have the same arrivals to the arena. It's like a lot of it is kind of like the, you know, even though, like, the outcome of the game will be different on any given night, the routine of the game is very much the same. So it felt good to kind of, like, do just spice up with just an entirely different medium of camera. So that's kind of, like, a big part of what sparked it, too. I was like, I'm so tired of filming with the same camera, even though it's really, I mean, it's really important to have your high quality stuff available at all times for what we do, because you never know what's going to happen, right? So,
yeah. What's your normal camera?
The Sony FX6 with and on the baseline, I use a Fujinon 50-135. So it's a cine lens that's a parafocal lens, which is great for pulling focus and zooming as you go up and down.
Okay. Is that more, I'm going to shut up after this and get other people asking questions, but is that like a, that's not a DSLR camera. It's more like a, what? Just straight up, like, pro grade camera, not consumer pro, but pro grade.
Yeah, pro grade. Sure. We also have, there's also, like, the FX3, which is, like, the SLR body version of it, which is, like, equally as good as the FX6. But yeah, it's a pro grade camera that, you know, shoots all the 4K and full frame and has an amazing autofocus and all the good things that you want in something like that.
So, Tristan, you obviously spent a lot of time on the road with the Trailblazers. First question is, how do folks, and you included, how do y'all pass the time, especially when you're in transit? You just mentioned that your call times, your start times, your travel times to and from the arenas or from the stadiums back to and from the hotel are very much the same. How do you maintain your mental health, your sanity, whatever you want to call it? And then the second question I have is, even though the Trailblazers haven't been too hot, and particularly this season, they've, what, last time they won a title was 77. Last time they were in the finals was, what, like 90 and or 92. And yet people are still fanatics. People still go for them. So what kind of energy do you see as a videographer working with the team, even when the team's not doing so hot? And I'm saying this as a Knicks fan, and we've been to hell and back and still in hell, and it could all fall apart in a week. But I'd love to hear your take on life on the road and then also maintaining your spirits, even though the team's not doing so well.
I mean, it's an interesting one because even though, like, you know, we're flying on a charter, you know, we stay in, like, 5-star hotels, you know, it's a very efficient and very, very comfortable way of traveling. It's still, you know, pretty accelerated too, right? Like, you're, like, in one city one day, one city the next, and, you know, you're traveling just so much. And you get tired and you have to stay, you know, you got to drink a lot of water. That's my main advice, and drink a lot of water. And you have to pick your battles too. And be sure, you know, you find your groove and you find what works well for you and you listen to your body. And yeah, well, you got to listen to your body for sure. Cause you know, your work comes first and, you know, your physical and mental health also come first too. Right. So you have to do things that, you know, make you feel good. And yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but you know, you pass your time on the road, just like, you know, you just gotta find what works for you and focus on what's good. And even though, like, there are some nights where it's like, man, like, it sucks losing a lot of games, but you know, it's a great group of guys, and you know, it's cool to experience something like this together. And even though I'm a few degrees more removed from the coaches and players and training staff and stuff, we're all still pretty together, and you know, we're all going through the same thing, and just being a good person and just supporting each other and just keeping a good mood. It's just kind of what you do, you know. And it's kind of hard to explain unless you're kind of in that sort of situation, but
you know, you just gotta keep it. You gotta keep it moving, because you know, you gotta do all these games, and you know, you'd be there if you weren't doing good, and you'd be there if you are doing good. So it's an interesting sort of experience and learning lesson to kind of going through like a rebuild and stuff. And it's exciting though too, because like for like a lot of these guys, like they're rookies and they're young guys, and they're kind of experiencing a lot of these things for the first time. And so kind of being there with them for that, and they're there with that for each other as rooks. And yeah, it's cool seeing them go through the same experiences together. I think it kind of creates a more of a sense of camaraderie. I mean, we just have such a good group of guys that they all know what they're supposed to do, and they're all professionals. And I think, I mean, that goes for everybody who goes on that plane. You know, we're all professionals in what we do. And you know, when you keep it professional, everyone's good. You know, it's not like a skate trip where it's like you get kicked out of every spot. You're like, I'm over this. I mean, all skate trips are great. I haven't been on many, unfortunately, but
so then like kind of using that as a pivot point to talk about skateboarding, something that those of us who enjoy the NBA and also skate understand is injury. And it's really interesting how a lot of armchair basketball fans who are not particularly physically active, you know, think like, oh, come on, what do you mean you're resting? Oh, you'll get over that ankle injury in X amount of time. And, you know, somebody who's witnessing it up front as a skater and skate videographer, but also as a mainstream sports media person, like, what's your take on injury and injury load and the amount of time that people are taking to rest up and take care of themselves? Because I think a lot of people don't understand how stressful that can be.
Unfortunately, I don't really know too much about that side of things. I'd have to defer you to our medical staff. I think it kind of goes for anything. You just have to listen to your body and like listen to what works for you. I think just kind of goes for anybody, right? You have to pick your battles, and it's kind of easier said than done when you might not have as much experience with it, or you're in this sort of a zone where it's like you have to do everything everywhere all at once. I mean, I've gotten hurt before, you know, not just skateboarding, but like, you know, just doing what I do. You know, I've hurt my back quite a bit. It takes a toll on you physically, you know, it just does as far as this line of work goes. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
It does. It's like, it's basically it's patience. Go on, Templeton.
Tristan, do you have access to the trainers? Can you be like, hey man, like when you're done with Dame, can you look at my back? This camera's kind of
they have, you know, when they have time, they have been very gracious to kind of check us out and do some more rudimentary stuff. But, you know, obviously they have to take care of a 15-man roster, so that's a bit different. But yeah, I mean, I can't say they've helped out. I mean, they've been very generous with their time for sure. But yeah.
So yeah, laying out just kind of a little bit more of your story, I guess, Tristan, like, did skateboarding come first in terms of like, you did that, you started filming it, and then basketball came about? Yeah, skateboarding first?
Yeah. I started skating when I was like 12, 13, and basically started filming at the same time too. Just like filming like my friends, just like messing around like the neighborhood. And then like, but also like started skating at the same time. And that kind of like just meshed into each other pretty quickly, because it was more about like filming my friends do stupid shit. Like,
it's like the CKY era or what? I mean, I don't know
little,
how old
I would are. Like a little bit. Like, I mean, this is like 2003. So it's kind of like, you know, just filming your friends do whatever. Because even during that time, having a video camera meant like, it's like, cool. Like, this is such like a cool advent. Like, it wasn't like, you know, you have everyone has a camera now, or even like then, I mean, just kids in my neighborhood, like no one else really had a video camera, I guess. And I just kind of had one and kind of just messed with it. It was like my dad's like old camcorder that had like took VHS tape, like an actual VHS tape, not mini DV, but right, full blown VHS tape. And I messed with it. It was like, you know, just film my friends, just screw around. And yeah, so I did that from 2002 until 2013. And the internship that I got out of Portland State, because I studied film at Portland State, and the internship I got was for a small, like, startup company called Quarter 4 Media. And myself and my supervisor now at the Trailblazers, our director of video production, who I report to, he and I both worked at this small startup doing like stuff for like Nike and like the Pac-12 network and stuff. And we both worked there for a few years, and the startup kind of failed and we got laid off, and we bounced freelance work off each other. And then he applied for the Blazers, and then he got bumped up to part-time and then full-time pretty quickly because the Blazers realized how good he was, and there was sort of a void at that time and sort of a need for somebody like him. And so he came on, and then our senior director of creative services, my boss asked my supervisor now, I was like, hey, do you know anyone who can shoot? And he raised my hand, and I was like, hey, what do you need? And kind of just started in a freelance capacity and just kind of went from there, and then got hired on part-time and then full-time a few years later. And when I went full-time 2019, that was after my first All-Star weekend.
Right.
Yeah. And so it was kind of a big catalyst because All-Star weekend was a lot of hours. And so I got bumped into part-time pretty quickly. Sorry, bumped into full-time. And then that's when I started really traveling with the team. And that was when we made our Western Conference Finals run. And then the next year happened, and COVID happened, and then kind of went through all the ways of that. And then now here we are.
So were you like a hoops guy, or was this just like a shot skateboarding? I like shooting video. I'm good at it. I know how to do it. And I've got a connection with the team. Like hoops guy or good at video?
I wouldn't say like a big basketball fan, but I've always been intrigued by basketball. I've always liked watching on TV. I cried I was like 10 years old. I cried when we lost the conference finals in 2000.
Oh, and, man. Pippen, just like Pippen a lot years,
of,
right?
Yeah. Just like a lot of other people who cried. And yeah, I've always been, you know, a big fan of basketball. And I even quit skating for like a year and just like shot hoops at the park and just like, you know, just.
Okay.
That's what I did. Wasn't really good at it or anything. Wasn't any part of like team or rec league or whatever. And but was always interested in it. And it's funny too. I was always like, you know, it was sick to like film Trailblazers. Like it'd always be cool. But it was always kind of like a distant sort of thing. And then this kind of fell into my lap and I was like, oh, shit, well, here we go. All right.
Hell yeah.
So do you still play pickup ball, or you've kind of put that aside for a while?
I play like horse and like play a little bit of one-on-one with like one of my really good friends. So that's pretty much it. I played a game of full court with some friends like about a year ago, but damn near killed me. So
I'm sure like your calves, your ankles, your thighs were just on fire, I'm sure.
Dude, I was like, man, this is a lot harder than skating a fucking mani pad.
Yeah. And so thinking about that, you know, something we talked about a few weeks ago on the pod was skaters versus jocks. And we're wondering, like, is it a cold piece? Is it actual friendship? Mike, Jason, and I have a pretty, you know, all have our very different but close relationships with sports as an adult. Templeton, not as much. But
it's a hot war with me.
It's a hot war. Yeah, exactly. It's still the barbed wire is still on the fence over in Templeton's corner of skateboarding. But for us, it's like France and Germany. It's like the borders open. You come and go as you please. So Tristan, the VX1000 is a talismanic piece of gear in skate videography culture. And you took it to an NBA team and produced something that at once referenced skateboarding, but took it to another level. It made basketball look even cooler than it already is. And I'm thinking about some photos somebody showed recently of, I think, LAFC, one of the football teams out here. They were shot on an old, like ancient 35 millimeter film.
I saw that.
And it looked beautiful. There's something.
Awesome. I saw that.
It's super beautiful. So I'm interested, like, do you think that there's room to grow for this relationship between skateboarding and professional sports? At least with basketball, because I feel like skating and basketball have always been cool, at least because skaters wear jerseys. And back in the day, you know, the Krail Tap guys, they used to shoot hoops, and some of them were actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to argue that, you know, basketball is the most stylish team sport out there. You know, like the way like people's bodies move and the way like, you know, the, you know, style is such a big part of it. And there's a culture too that's just like, I mean, I don't really know the culture of baseball or soccer or other ones. I'm sure they have rich cultures too, but, you know, it's just something about basketball. And like, also too, like skateboarding is a very urban sport. Basketball, you find basketball hoops everywhere in like inner city, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't require as much room. You know, skateboarding doesn't require as much room either, really. You know,
you can skate on a basketball or a basketball court.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like those are two spaces that are just like, you know, proximity kind of brings them together just kind of by default. And with that comes this culture and comes all that stuff. Right. And I don't know. It's kind of funny that you guys bring this up too, because like, I feel like, you know, bring the skaters versus jocks kind of thing is such like a bygone thing for me for the most part, because I see like these like these basketball players, you know, they're kind of, you know, they have very like, you know, it, they have personalities that really kind of match their style on the court a lot. Like the way like the people move, like, for example, like Jeremy Grant is like, you know, very smooth on the court. He's very like silky, and he has a really kind of like silky personality. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, he's just a good dude. And I don't know, just like the way styles kind of like mesh into each other's personalities. And like, obviously knowing like the personalities of skaters, you know, that are just like out of their minds, but just like, just kind of quirky, you know, the skaters are quirky as hell. And so are basketball players. And it's the best kind of quirky, because like they just, you know, they spend their whole lives to this craft that's just like, just so, I don't know, just, it's like, you just dedicate everything to it. I don't know, there's just a lot of parallels I've noticed.
It, like, so do you think it's been useful to, you know, work with skaters? I mean, you film like Silas Baxter Neal, and I'm like, yeah, the Joey Pepper footage that you've got. I'm like, man, that's one of the best dudes ever. Is it like useful having worked with skaters to then work with basketball players who are, you know, guys in their respective fields who are at the top of their games? Like, just kind of knowing what goes into each thing, does it help?
I think it helps a lot, honestly. And, you know, and I'm the type of filmer, when I'm out skating, it's like, hey, I want to, like, you know, I want to get this shit done. And I want to skate. I'm trying to rip. I'm trying to, like, push my friends. And, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, seriously, like, I'm trying to get after it. And, you know, I'm kind of, like, more, like, locked in when I'm on, like, a filming mission and when I'm trying to film. And same thing with basketball. Like, you know, when we're in a practice or when we're at a game, it's like, you know, business first. But also too, you have to also kind of have like the same kind of mentality where it's like, hey, it's not always that serious. You know, you can, when the buzzer sounds or whatever, it's like, it's all good, like everything's great. Like, you know, you can kind of, you can, you know, let your guard down a little bit. Like, don't be so serious all the time. You know, it's sort of a balance of that, I think, in some ways. And I don't know, just sort of a certain feel. It's so hard to describe, but you know, the feeling of like filming, skating, and like being like locked in and trying to work towards like a common goal and working in kind of two different spaces for the same common goal. It's the same thing. So it's just kind of easier to kind of like sort of transition to the NBA. It's obviously on a bigger scale, but at the same time too, like when you spend a lot of time around these guys, you're more comfortable with them, just like as you kind of get comfortable with like, you know, the skaters that you work with. But there will never be anything more personal than skateboarding.
Do any NBA players that you've seen have the madness, any kind of obsessions around detail, any sort of good luck charms, any, do you ever notice anything like that the more that you spend time around NBA players?
Some guys have, you know, pre-game rituals on the court that I'm aware of, and some guys are just kind of like, you know, some guys like to sort of like meditate or sort of check out for a bit, like when the, you know, the lights go off, the intro videos start playing, and they kind of like, you know, sort of zone out a little bit. And I don't really know. I wish I didn't know, but that's not really within my sphere of work. But yeah, there's definitely madness for sure.
So Tristan, like, what's your relationship to the players compared to your relationship with the skaters that you're filming? Because, like, you know, the skater filmer relationship is a pretty tight bond. I wonder, like, what is that for you with the players?
With the players, it's relative to the skaters, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, these guys have a lot going on, and I don't know what else they have going on personally. And so I don't want, you know, I'm very conscious about their time and what I need from them. And I just kind of, it's pretty cut and dry. It's not like, you know, we don't hang out outside of work, but, you know, we shoot the shit sometimes and chat about certain stuff and see each other everywhere and kind of small talk and not a whole lot, but, you know, obviously with, you know, filming skaters, it's, you know, those guys are your friends. There's not like a bond quite like people who you've filmed with for a number of years with anybody else, right? Like, there's nothing like that.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head. Really good podcast posture, but yeah, I'm like nodding along.
Because especially like with skating too, it's like, it's so like, you're not just filming. It's like, hey, like, I'm going to get you motivated to try this, and I'm going to stick with you until you can't do it anymore. And I'm going to, like, we're going to hang out. And, like, we're just, like, you're just so much. I don't know. There's just a lot of trust there, too. And, like, with basketball, it's, you get it? Oh, you did it? That's all good. You know, with skating, it's like, it's like, hey, don't fuck this up.
So like there's a long off season during the summer, you know, from the NBA. Is that where you find time to shoot skateboarding, or how does that work out? Like, seems like you're busy. Maybe not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I find most of my time to film skating during the off season. We do have, you know, the draft lottery, pre-draft workouts, summer league.
They made it a year-round league, didn't they? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool though. It's cool. It's good. It's good for the league and stuff, and it's good. You know,
I love it. Yeah, I take it all
for sure. And it's cool that there are like sort of like outlets. It's, you know, people get their fix all year round and stuff. But we also take a lot of time to like prep for next season, develop a, you know, look and feel, and try to hit on certain things that we want to, like, you know, accomplish and make sure we have our ducks in a row for next season. Because, yeah, you know, there's a lot of planning for the following seasons. So,
but yeah. So what about the skate time, you know, filming skating? Is it, do you do it on off days if the weather's good and you're home, or how does it all play out? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I find time whenever I can when I'm at home, and if it's dry and it's an off day, I'm gonna get it in somehow. I'm gonna do it. Like, even if it's raining, I'm gonna get it in if I physically can. So thankfully I've been able to skate to Nike Park here and there, and Adidas Park too here and there. Dry days too, I've been trying to get after it. I've been filming Ramel Torres and Alex Lubsiuk quite a little bit with the VX. And they just like, they do that. I filmed with them for like 3 days, like scattered. And I got like a minute of footage. It was insane. Like, so again, yeah, it's just still just trying to film as much skating as possible. It's super important. It's funny. It's like I tell this to everybody, everyone who I work with, like, you have to have an outlet outside of your work, because otherwise your work is just going to consume you. Even if you love it, it's just going to consume you. And finding things that like remind you why you got into it in the first place, or what keeps your stoke or whatever, doing that's huge. So
yeah, I mean, that's what this podcast is.
So you work with other, I'm sure, are there's other video people on staff, and you've got your bosses and everything. What did those people think about you filming skateboarding?
I mean, they're all pretty receptive to it. I mean, they don't know much about it, so they don't really weigh in a whole lot. We don't really talk about it. But I think they really respect the fact that I have something that I'm still really passionate about that keeps me creatively, you know, invested into doing what I do, which can be, you know, it can be taxing creatively to, you know, have to film every day. You know, like, there are some days where I've been like, the last thing I want to do is audio camera. Yeah. But having those days where you're like, oh, I want to go film skating, I'm able to do that. I'm able to kind of like, you know, reignite that stoke. I mean, I think like my colleagues are pretty receptive to that, and they applaud it for sure. I mean, I can't ask for a better team of people who I work with. They're all pretty unique and pretty creative in their own right, and it's cool that we're able to kind of all like sort of collaborate and bounce different ideas off each other and different like things that interest us. So it's cool. It's done a lot for like sort of my creative perspective, and yeah, it's been great.
I'm just thinking about like follow filming at Burnside, and then, you know, putting it to jazz after the fact. That shit's really cool, man.
Yeah, big time.
Thanks. One thing though, I should know, that was Tucker Glaso who did the majority of the Burnside filming for PPS3. But still, I mean, hey, props to him. I mean, he's helped me like learn how to film, and it's been such a fun duo for us to collaborate with each other on a series of videos that people have been pretty receptive to, and pretty lucky to have that. And, you know, we have a bunch of mutual friends, and we team up and we kind of get together once every couple of years, and we managed to put out a video. So yeah, got a fairly good head start on this next one. So yeah, always trying to I don't know, find something that feels rad. It's chasing the high. I'm a high chaser.
I mean, is it balancing out like the fact that, you know, you're looking through a viewfinder for work, and then you get out in the streets and you push around and, you know, you do shithead skater things. Is that the balancing act? Is that what it is? Chasing that high?
Oh, for sure, man. Like, dude, like being in like a polished arena where it's like, you know, you're kind of surrounded by all these people, and
in like your inside, and it's great and all. It's like, it's special for a lot of people, especially for myself too. But by being able to go out and just like skate and have your own freedom and do things on your own terms, and I don't know, just it's a good reset. You got to hit that reset button every so often. I do it a little bit more than I should, but no, whatever. No, I know.
Well, you got a badge on at the basketball game, right? Like, you got a badge, and then you go skating. There's no badge for that.
It's cool. Like with like, you know, my job, it's a pretty structured environment, and then skateboarding is not structured, and so it's kind of a cool like sort of yin and yang to that. So it's a great balance to have, to your point.
Yeah, it seems like a good balance to keep you excited about the other thing. You know, it's like,
for sure.
Can't wait to get back to the stadium. I can't wait to get back to the streets.
100%. And I love that I'm able to kind of have that sort of those two things kind of living in sync with each other. So it's a pretty lucky feeling to have. But yeah, and right now I'm in the mode of, I can't wait to get back to the stadium, but also I can't wait to get back to the streets. I'm always antsy.
Templeton, well, I'm in the show notes and I highlighted it for Templeton because he had it written down. Do you bring your board when you're on a team trip? Do you ever get out?
I used to, and I have before, but I haven't really all year. Except for I went to Indianapolis and see my homie Ned XL. He met me there in Indy. He watched a Patriots game and we skated together. And I ate shit super hard a few hours before I had to get to the bus. I ate shit hard twice. It was freezing. That's the last time I brought my fucking board to the session. Probably board on the plane with me. But yeah, I don't anymore. I just don't have time. And we're also filming our docuseries for the Trailblazers. So doing sit downs with players and doing different B-roll shoots. It's not just the games. It's a lot of other stuff too that we have to do.
Yeah.
So it's not just a question of not wanting to break yourself off before you go to work. It's also just, as you mentioned, it's very regimented structure. And also you have a lot of work to do. You're on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on the clock. And also too, it's like, are you going to go skate, or is it probably a better idea for you to just kind of just chill? Cause you have to do all this work and you might as well just chill and not really kind of, you know, just take it. It's a marathon, right? Not a sprint. And you just have to kind of like pick your battles, and when you pick your battles, it's often like, probably shouldn't bring your board on your trip. Probably shouldn't go skate in somewhere where you don't know, and you're probably not gonna have that much fun skating. And yeah, I just can't give it up a little bit. In some ways, as much as I'd like to, if I had more time on trips, I would definitely bring my board.
Whenever I'm on work trips, I often find that so much of the day is devoted to either doing work, working on whatever project you're on, or spending time with your coworkers. By the time you get back to the hotel, Airbnb, whatever, you're just exhausted. You don't even want to think about going skating. You're just like, let me just put on some HGTV and tune out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And it's like, and there's just no fighting. Like, I used to do a little bit. Denver is great because the Denver Park is right there. And I love skating Denver Park. So I skated there during the conference finals. That was the bulk of my skating on the road.
That's a cool flex, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big NBA fan. That's a cool flex. D-Park. Yeah, man.
D-Park is great. But like the whole time, but I do remember that skating D-Park the whole time. I was like, holy shit, we'll have fucking game tomorrow or tonight. And this is insane to think about. But I went skating and we won that series. So
I mean, speaking of just like team accomplishments, do you have a particular play that you were able to, you know, you were shooting video of it and it's like, wow, I shot video of this thing that's like an iconic play, and maybe it's a Damian Lillard play.
Chances are very high that's a Damian Lillard play.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the game 5 over Paul George. Yeah, that's the one. I mean, I didn't really film it it was like an isolation shot of Dame from the stairs, and I just held it on Dame and followed. I didn't follow the ball. I just held on Dame, but it was just like the evidence of the shot. It was just like, you know, I'm lucky I got it because, you know, the whole crowd was on their feet. And that was crazy. That was crazy because I was standing on concrete stairs. And when that happened, like, this concrete actually shook beneath me.
Wow.
And is that it? Oh, no, that was that mode. I'm not sure if you're asking that.
Okay, yeah, Moda. Okay, so they were in Portland, and then that was against, was that Paul George? That wasn't Paul George Clippers, or was that Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City.
And he waved goodbye. Did you get the wave? You got the wave.
Oh, yeah, I got the wave.
So Tristan,
it's
is this...
It's killer, guys. It's killer.
Does it feel the same as, say, filming somebody's Ender or an After Black or a trick that everyone's like, does it hit the same to film something like that in the NBA?
It hits the same for sure. It hits the same for sure, but it's also like the stakes I don't think are as high in NBA because you know that there are other angles covering it, even though it's like you really want it to be your angle because you're the one shooting super slow-mo cinematic style type stuff. There's a bit more pressure, a little bit more condition to it because I know it's like, oh, this is the moment that something's going to happen. Whereas skating, it's like it could be in 5 tries, 10 tries, 15 tries, 2 hours, 4 hours. But also too in skating, it's like you care so much. I mean, you care about both equally, but there's just something about, you know, you care so much about your friends succeeding in trying something. So the stakes are kind of higher in that way. And also too, you're the only angle.
Right.
So that makes a big difference. But in basketball, there's different angles.
No, I don't really know much about basketball, but I know that shot that you're talking about, like even for me, like the uninitiated, like I could tell that was like an iconic moment, an iconic shot. And the fact that you stayed on Damian Lillard instead of following the ball, which I think is kind of like would be like following the board. Like, how do you decide to stay on the player instead of the ball?
In that moment, I was sort of in a more precarious kind of filming spot, and I just didn't want to risk anything. And I also like knew that he was so far away that I was like, if he launches it from there, I don't think he's really got it. If he hears this, he's going to be like, what the fuck, man?
I'm sure he listens.
But we'd be stoked if Lillard tunes in. Pretty
yeah,
soon.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reason was behind it. I think I just wanted to play it safe, and I knew that it was just such an unlikely thing for that to happen, that if it did happen, keep it isolated. And it's such like a, I just sort of made a split decision in that moment, and based on my experience too. Also too, everyone was standing up, and I had a clear view of Dame, and I knew that I was going to keep a clear view of Dame.
So, like, if you follow the ball, you might like get the back of somebody's head or something. Like,
yeah, I wasn't sure about it, but I think that there was more likely of that to happen than any other time.
Right.
So, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lock it. I'm just going to stay isolated.
Has shooting basketball like changed your perspective or approach to skating, or you know what influences the other more?
That's a really good question. I'd say basketball influences skating in the approach of it, just being mentally like on top of yourself and being like mentally just sort of like engaged and just trying to like work towards like a common goal. I think has really like kind of helped reinforce like my outlook on skating a bit. Hopefully that doesn't sound too cheesy, but I mean, that's just kind of how I feel. It's like, when I go out and skate, I want to go out and do something. And that's kind of how it is in basketball, right? Like, you want to go out and try to do something and try to achieve something. And there's a sort of a reinforcement that I get from basketball with that. But with skating, the main thing I've learned about skating is like, what's the important part of the trick? Is it like the grind? Is it the flip? Like, what is it? So, like, I've applied that to basketball too, right? Like, if I know like a player is going to be doing, you know, some fancy footwork, like, you know, I got Anthony Simons, you know, it's a 3-point line, like at the wing, just like, you know, mixing somebody up. I have to have to show his feet because that's good footwork. So like I take that from skating. So I guess I put the mental from basketball into skating and then the filming from skating into basketball.
Oh yeah.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah, for sure. And also too, like or at least I want to bring from skating, like, you know, skating isn't that serious too, which is like an interesting kind of line to cross, right? Like you want to be serious about something, but don't take it too serious. And applying that to basketball too, it's like, you know what? It's like, have fun. If it doesn't work, fuck it. And if it does work, great. But try to make it work.
Speaking of not taking things too seriously, Sidewalk Distribution shared the news this week that Steve Rocco, yes, that's Steve Rocco, would be joining the company to, quote, finish off skateboarding once and for all, end quote. Patrick, is this a wise business decision for Sidewalk?
Initially, I I was curious, and then in our internal mostly skateboarding group chat, and also watching what other people were seeing across the internet, it got me thinking that, well, one or two things is happening here. Either one, it's an early April Fool's joke, or two, maybe this is kind of like a pump and dump scheme, you know? By getting Rocco's name attached to Sidewalk Distribution, it inflates the value of the brand. And then I don't know what's going to happen from here. But to be honest, Rocco did everything that you could possibly do in skating. More specifically, he changed skateboarding, moved it away completely from freestyle. And he was one of the best freestyle skaters on the planet and effectively killed vert for a few years in the early 90s. And made street skating the main event in skating. And in addition to that, changed the skate industry, changed skate fashion. I mean, you think about the blind cargos, right? Or the bob shirts. I don't think lightning can strike twice. I don't know if Rocco can facilitate those types of changes in the industry again with the same impact. I'm reminded of, there's this very, it's an infamous shirt by Sex, which was the late Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood's shop on the King's Road, where the Sex Pistols y'all used to hang out. And it said, you know, you're going to know which side of the bed, you know, you're waking up on. And on the left hand of the shirt, it had stuff that was really cool. And on the right hand of the shirt, it had stuff that sucked. Maybe I've got the positioning wrong, but skateboarding has diversified. It's bigger. It's stranger. It's weirder. I don't know if he can have that bulldozer effect. I mean, Tristan, Templeton, Mike, like, do you think Rocco can do that again, or has skateboarding just moved on?
I mean, for me, like, it just seems like, are people looking for Rocco? Like, it just seems like dude is old news. I don't know that the world is down for his kind of thing anymore. I don't know. It's an odd move, I think. Tristan, you're like a little younger than us. Does Steve Rocco's name like ring bells for you, or like?
So
you know?
I only know Andrew Sold the World documentary, and that documentary about Steve Rocco, and I thought it was great. And I thought that Steve Rocco, I was like, damn, this is pretty genius, and it's kind of cool. And I was like, shit, if I could do that, I would definitely do that. Like, but also too, it's like just such a different landscape now, right? Like, isn't the skate game kind of crazy? Like, it's not like it's not nowhere near what it used to be. So it's so hard to compare the two to each other that I can't really offer much of like an opinion to it, but it's kind of weird, super weird.
Yeah, I think the skate game is as hard as it's ever been. And then you also add in the fact, and I don't want to be ageist, but I did some rudimentary internet research and Steve Rocco is 64 years old. Skateboarding just caters to the young folk. And he ain't it.
Yeah, I can't imagine kids are going to be psyched on whatever. Like, what's a 64-year-old, you know, dude who's been out of the skate game for 20 years have to offer the skateboard buying public?
I'm pretty stoked on that synopsis right there, Templeton.
There we go. That brings us to the end of our show where we talk about what we're stoked on. Tristan, what are you stoked on this week?
Oh, man, I think it was in quite a few of our lists, but I have to bring it out. Down by Law, Paul Young's video, just like the music, the skating, the editing, the filming, just like it was a complete package. And it was cool to kind of like, just like knowing like Paul Young's body of work, it's cool to like just kind of see like he's still running with like the same crew of dudes and it still looks rad and they're still like kind of evolving and getting better. I was like, just like, a rad, just like super rad and inspiring. That and This Old Ledge series, so good. And it's so like just what we need to see. And it pays homage to really rad shit. And I'm just a huge skate nerd, big spot nerd, especially as somebody who travels on the road for work. So
yeah, you're a big time spot tourist.
Oh yeah.
Patrick, what are you stoked on this week?
I'm stoked on quite a bit. First of all, I am stoked on Spitfire Wheels. I am also stoked on Down by Law. Shout out to Paul Young. That's the homie. We go way, way, way back. I love you, Paul. You're the man. I love the fact that he continually weaves in lots of little tributes to old school, or actually, excuse me, 1990s era. Shout out to North Jersey, Westchester. I love the fact that even though he's living in the city now, that he still pays homage, that he still is featuring skaters from where we grew up. And that just like, it's genuinely the best. And that video is his body of work is amazing, and he's one of the people who really inspired me to get back into skating. I'm also really stoked on another skate podcast, Beyond Boards, which is based out of France. I've actually had a little bit more time on my hands. I've been catching up on several podcasts, including the new Vent City, which has a recap of Slow Impact. And I'm also very stoked because this weekend marks 10 years since I swiped right on Tinder. And yeah, I met my wife 10 years ago this weekend. We met in New York. So shout out to New York being the best city ever. And finally, I'm stoked on a band from New York who are from Brooklyn called Bin Stellar. And they got this song called Passing Judgment that's just been stuck in my head. Think about if Interpol were hanging out with Afghan Whigs. That's what that song sounds like. And I love it. Mike, what are you stoked on this week?
Man, I'm stoked on your top 10 ever, like PK stoked on right there. That was continental crossing. I found a bike shop that feels like a skate shop. I mentioned on here that I was finishing a bike, or no, trying to build a bike. I brought it to this bike shop and I had it finished. One-on-One Bikes in South Minneapolis. Very stoked on them. They're very cool. Props to Gene. He's great. He told me that apparently in Japan, there's a form of track bicycle racing and you can bet on it. Like, who's going to win the track bike race? And they're all on fixed gear, like, you know, the crazy, like, ultra-modified, dipped handlebars. I don't know. It was all fascinating. That's what I learned from getting a good relationship with the guy who I hired to build a bike because I couldn't build the bike myself. I didn't give too much bike background on this show. Hopefully that made sense. This one is pretty straightforward. I'm super stoked on the Timberwolves, Minnesota Timberwolves. It's their first 50-win season in 20 years. They got the win last night against Detroit. Big game against Denver tomorrow night. As of this recording, we're hoping for big things, baby. Super apropos for this episode of this podcast. Templeton, what are you stoked on this week?
Like a few other of my compatriots here, I'm stoked on Paul Young's Down by Law video. Just, you know, I can't really say anything else. It's a great video. Everybody should watch it if you haven't already. Also stoked on skate catalogs on the Internet Archive. The Internet Archive is such a wondrous place, and somebody stumbled upon a bunch of skate catalogs from the 90s that somebody scanned, and it's just cool to look through and see, like, you know, in 1998, Alien Workshop made a fucking sick-ass vest or whatever, you know, like, and just random photos that you've never seen before. It's a cool way to waste an afternoon, so... click the link in the show notes and you'll be stoked. That's it for our show this week. Be sure to check out mostlyskateboarding.net for links to things that we talked about, other show notes. Until next time, you can keep up with us all week online. Tristan, where can the people find you?
I just do Instagram, The Brilliant Lewis. That's pretty much it. But yeah.
There we go. Mike, where can the people find you?
Twitter and Instagram, I'm at M Munzenrider. Patrick, where can the people find you? Bobby Digital's internet.
Bobby, digi. You can find me on Twitter under the handle at Colonel K Speaks. You can also find me on Instagram under the handle at Pikagongo, doing cool stuff with the Harold Hunter Foundation as well. Templeton, where can the people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at Mostly Skateboarding and on Twitter at Mostly Skate. And Tristan, I feel like it's worth mentioning that you do have a Twitter and it's almost like a Blazers highlight portfolio for you, so I feel like it's worth the...
Oh, yeah, excuse me, sorry about that. It's at T Brianceau, so T B R I L L A N C E A U. T Brianceau.
There we go. I'll link it in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and Tristan, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been a long time coming.
Hey, thanks so much, you guys. It's been fun to have the opportunity and just kind of nerd out a little bit. It's been really, really great. So
awesome.
Thanks, man.